Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, we are back. It is still the offseason. It is a Dodgers Red Sox World Series.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I brought Ahmed back because we want to talk about the Giants so people don't have to think about the Dodgers or the Red Sox.
I am rooting for the Red Sox, though. I mean, like, I would be anyway, but, like, they are a fun team to watch. Like, normally I don't root for the Red Sox because they're the Red Sox and the Yankees, and I don't really like either one. But this is a fun Red Sox team.
On our website right now, I have a list of 10 reasons why you can...
I saw that.
...root for the Red Sox. You can be okay with rooting for the Red Sox. I should mention, it's also on our My Teams app, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Everything we do is on there. This podcast will be on there, so you can download that. The link is on my Twitter page. The link is on my Instagram page. That is Pavlovich NBCS. So download the My Teams app. You can stream games. You can read all our stories. Listen to the podcast. Everything you need.
That's the coolest thing with it. I mean, it looks pretty slick.
It is slick.
But you can just watch everything. Like, a Warriors game is on. You open up the app, and you go to the Warriors page, and the game is just playing.
I did that last night.
Yeah, the game's just playing there, so it's really easy.
Before I get to the Giants and your questions, first, our sponsor, Wendy's, as always, they've been with us for a long time now, and we appreciate them. The new Wendy's Sossum Bacon Classic is a twist on a favorite. The Sossum Bacon Classic features a smoky, tangy sauce and 3 strips of applewood smoked bacon for a limited time at participating locations. I might go to Wendy's after this.
And you can order the Wendy's on the My Teams app. Actually, no, you
That'd
can't.
Be pretty
you
good.
Can't, but that would that's a
we should integrate that.
Maybe an addition.
So I did as I always do. I like to get questions from people and kind of get a jumping off point. But first, I think we were talking about this just now. The biggest thing is still the GM search, and I think that's what a lot of people are still questioning, and a lot of people are still wondering about. And I don't really have any answers. I know you just asked me, and
I'm curious.
It has been remarkably quiet. More quiet. I mean, the Giants try to keep things under wraps. Bobby always tried to. They have been much more quiet even since he left. And I think this is legitimately a search that has two guys at the top in Larry Bear and Brian Sabian. And when you have a small search like that, they've done a good job of keeping it quiet. So there have been names that got out. Kim Ng was somebody who was tied to them. Jason McLeod with the Cubs, who I think is really interesting because of his scouting background, and we know that's something Brian Sabian wants. I think Henry Schulman said that, is it Chaim Bloom? I don't know.
Chaim Bloom. Yeah, we'll get into Chaim Bloom.
Okay.
Because I have
somebody who interviewed, apparently.
I have a crush.
Do you?
I don't even know him. I don't know him, but I think I have a crush.
You'd be the complete opposite of everything they do,
I think.
But... yeah, I saw somebody in Rays gear at the airport the other day, and I thought it had to be it. But I looked him up. It wasn't Bloom. It wasn't Eric Neander.
Oh.
It wasn't. I'm like, this is just a random dude in Rays gear.
I would have hugged him anyway.
Who are you? Are you here to interview for the GM job?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is, you know, I know some people asked about that, and, like, legitimately has been very quiet. I think there have not been a lot of candidates. They've gone pretty high on lists, it sounds like, and to the top of a wish list, so to speak. And, you know, the World Series is starting now, and you can't do anything during the World Series unless you're A-Rod and you opt out. So
no.
It'll be quiet probably for another week or maybe more. I mean, one thing I have heard is people are not sure that they're going to have somebody in place for the GM meetings, which is November 5th. So this is ongoing.
So I am optimistic, though, you know, because you didn't know what names were going to be out there, who they were going to interview. You know, Jason McLeod, you figured would be a guy scouting. Director, player personnel, figured that would be a route the Giants would want to go. But to see them interviewing Chaim Bloom of the Rays, my man crush, and I really only say that because I watched one interview after the draft. It was a YouTube video, and he just talked very intelligently. And it was interesting to hear him talk about the players they got, because I think a lot of people think, you know, Rays are all numbers. It's all about numbers with them, and it's, that's just not true. They're talking about skill set and the lanky delivery and smooth delivery and right-handed power to all field. You know what I mean? They're talking the baseball language still about all their players, and they're just really bright, and the way they're able to squeeze out every ounce of potential and ability out of their players to get to 90 wins, it seems like, every other year. I'm glad they're interviewing guys like Chaim Bloom, because I think that you pair
hopefully
that
came with some ideas.
Yeah, you pair that with even if you don't hire him, just take the ideas. If you pair that with a team that'll spend $200 million, that's a deadly combination, as the Dodgers have shown here.
Yeah, I think, you know, people, and I feel like the Giants view it this way too. I think people view analytics the wrong way. Like, they think it's like, it's all just nerdy math. It's at its core, it's trying to find edges and trying to find an extra win here or there. And that's what they did with the opener. And I mean, that's everything. I mean, the Dodgers do that with their 40-man roster. The Dodgers, all, you know, they do that continually. We've seen that from teams. And I think that's what interests me about people like Bloom with the Rays and somebody who would come from that background. Because it, I remember a story about the Cubs all of a sudden started scouting Mexico really heavily because they felt that was undervalued. And I'm sure McLeod was a big part of that. And it's like, that's where I think the Giants have missed. Like I think they view analytics as like on base percentage or advanced stats, right, or Statcast, things like that, a little bit. And I know not, there's a lot of people in the organization who don't, but I think in a general sense, like, they view it as like in-game stuff and shifts and
it's player evaluation
angle. But it really is like, how do you get the best 25-man roster, how do you get the best 40-man roster?
Well, think of the Rays. You get players, Tommy Pham, who the Cardinals didn't want anymore. They knew he was good, but he just wasn't working out for whatever reason, then goes over and is one of the best players on the Rays team. That's not a big, juicy trade that the headlines were raving about, but it was a useful player. Joey Wendell, useful player. You just add up enough useful players, and all of a sudden you have 90 wins.
And they don't all have to be, you don't have to have five starters, you don't have to have, you know, the five righties and the two lefties in your bullpen and the long reliever and the closer. Like, there are different ways to do it. So I think that's what's interesting about guys like that.
I've had a couple conversations. I'm not an insider like you, Alex, but there have been a couple conversations that I've had, and I forgot to tell you this. I do think they liked Bloom, because I mentioned to someone my man crush. They liked him. They think he'll get another round of interviews. I think they look at Farhan Zaidi too for the Dodgers, who is an A's guy. So they're, and he's big time analytics, and Billy Beane famously said about him when he went to the Dodgers, he said, "I never thought we'd lose him to another baseball team. I thought we'd lose him to Google or Facebook or Amazon." So they're looking at, I think they've looked at David Forst as well, although the expectation there is that the A's will re-up all their minutes, like they should. They shouldn't let those guys get away. So, and we talked about it, Alex. We didn't know how far they'd want, if they'd want to jump into the deep end of analytics, quote unquote. Seems like they're jumping into the deep end.
Seems like they have, which is good news no matter where this goes. As for the actual Giants, I'm taking some questions from Twitter, some people on Instagram. This is Brian SO Sports. He said, should Panic be traded and Hanson start at second? He had two questions. I mean, Hanson's not an everyday player because he can't hit from the right side, really. I mean, his numbers from the right side are terrible. I think he had one walk in the second half of the season. Defensively, they still have some concerns about him. So he's a very nice bench player. I think they in no way want to go into the next season with Alan Hanson as their starting second baseman.
He is a guy that, and we always love to be fooled when a guy has a hot month or a hot 6 weeks. And that was Alan Hanson, because the tools are so exciting. But I remember cautioning some people, including myself, who like to get, I like to get excited, but you probably should value the 140 games or whatever he played the previous year over the handful, 25 games that we've seen so far with the Giants. And that was Alan Hanson, a guy who did have the prospect pedigree, was given chances, and really didn't hit until that 1 month with the Giants, which was very good. And I think, like you say, he's a useful player, but not an everyday
player. It's a great
find.
I just did that. I'm doing these reviews of every player, and did Aramis Garcia. He had a 500 BABIP in September. So, yeah, he hit 286, but that's not sustainable in any way. He had two walks, I think, struck out 47% of the time. So it does go like you... It was great. It was a great story. He showed us a lot, and I do think he's ready to be a backup catcher. But it does, again, go to like, well, you have to look at what he did in AA for 3 or 4 months and had 10 games in AAA. So there's a bigger sample here with some of these guys.
Do you feel like we've become more negative, Alex? I feel like I'm a positive person.
Well, they've lost 98 games 2 years ago. 89. Yeah. So it's... Well, this is
I'm generally an optimist, and I still am, but really I just feel like when I talk Giants baseball lately, I get very pessimistic. You were the one
going, they can go 25-5.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was, and then they proved me wrong.
The next question, should Slater, Duggar, and Hernandez be our new outfielders for 2019? I think I mentioned on the last podcast I have concerns just because Slater had an elbow injury, and I just think anytime anybody has an elbow sprain that, long-term, you have to be worried about that. I love Steven Duggar. I think defensively, at the very least, it doesn't matter where you hit him. They would like him to be a leadoff hitter, but even if he has to hit 8 for a couple years, defensively, he's such a game changer for him. And Hernandez, go look at his splits from the first half to the second half. And you were the king of
I'd rather not. I know.
You tried to get him in the All-Star game.
Well, you only need a good half for the All-Star game.
This is true. So. The second half, it got ugly.
Well, the fact that he had 15 homers compared to 0 the year before, and then his OPS was barely over what it was a year ago. That can tell you a lot about Gorky's in his second half. But, Steven Duggar is my second man crush to Chaim Bloom. Those are my two man crushes. And, we'll be seeing Steven Duggar in center field, health willing. Hope he can stay on the field, but for a long time to come.
All right, Mark Keller says, with the Giants seemingly being out on Machado and Harper, what about the Giants going after some tier two guys such as Corbin, Pollock? You get guys at positions of need and weaken a division rival. There's a lot here to unpack. You tweeted something that I was going to tweet for a couple days, and I sat on it because I don't like to go after other writers.
Yeah.
And I don't know Nick Cafardo really, but I just don't understand how you could have a report, and this is exactly what you tweeted, that says the Giants are going to be in on Patrick Corbin when the Giants don't currently have a head of their baseball operations.
Yeah.
Department. So it's just like wherever you got this from, somebody's just trying to throw the Giants in there because they have a lot of money.
Well, a lot of times, with the national guys, as you know better than I do, it's the agents who are talking to them, and they say, yeah, we expect all these teams with a lot of money and payroll flexibility to like our client.
Yeah.
That's what they're hoping for. But you're right. It's just how they don't. Because even there were people that were like, well, of course they're going to be interested. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a good player, and any team would like to have Patrick Corbin. But the new person who comes in here, her may say, we have $40 million to spend. We're going to spend it all on hitting, not on pitching at all. And that's a reasonable thing for the new person to say. So it is just weird for that to float out there that the Giants have any opinions on any players right now when the person that's making all those decisions is currently in the interview process.
Which is why, a lot of people ask about Harper, and we've talked about him in the past, and we will talk about him in November, but it is, we don't know who's going to make that decision yet, and we don't know how that person will feel, and if that person will get a mandate to rebuild a little bit, to take a step back, or if they will be handed a check, and they'll say, go spend $60 million a year, and go add Harper and somebody else. So it's hard to answer those questions, but I do think we can talk about guys specifically. Patrick Corbin's great, but Giants gave $220 million to starters 3 years ago, and it blew up in their faces. So I don't see them doing that this offseason. Pollock, he's fascinating to me because he is that guy that in the past, I think with the past Giants front office, you would go like, it was like when Longoria and McCutcheon started happening, we're like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense for, this is what the Giants are going to do. Like Pollock's that guy where you go, oh, this is what the Giants would do. But you also how many times have they given a 30-year-old outfielder money?
And he's been hurt a lot.
Who's been hurt, and it just hasn't.
I like Pollock a lot, and when he's healthy, I think he's really a valuable player, but he hasn't been. It's kind of like what you talk about Brandon Belt. When he's healthy and on the field, he's one of their best players, but when he's not healthy and not on the field, he's not contributing, obviously.
Speaking of man crushes, here's a question. What's your go-to order from Wendy's? I do like the spicy chicken sandwich. So if they want to send those. But that wasn't my man crush. It could be. Juan Barajas asks, do you think the Giants will pursue Marwin Gonzalez?
Ooh.
That's a guy I like.
That's your man crush for this podcast.
Just in terms of I don't know where the market's going to go with some of these guys. Right. I generally am of the opinion that it's going to be less. I don't think last year was a fluke. Like, I think teams got smart and realized that giving a lot of money to these guys is a waste. But that tier of guys who are maybe available on, like, 2 or 3 year deals, and maybe he'll get a 5 year deal somewhere, who knows. But those guys are the guys that I like. And I also just have covered so many Giants Dodgers games where you watch Cody Bellinger go from first base to center field, and then Jock Peterson goes from right to left, and Kike goes from center to second. And then, you know, like, there's positional flexibility, and right. that's one thing the Giants absolutely don't have, which is why I like a guy who can play second base, who can play first base, who can play the outfield, who provides some power.
Too. Yes. Well, I mean, Cody Bellinger is the Dodgers' best first baseman and center fielder, which is
so
crazy.
So Gonzalez is fascinating to me because of that, and I think, you know, potentially can fill in a lot of different areas. And Alan Hansen does that a little bit, but more as a backup. Like, I love a guy who you can play 145 times and play him at different spots.
Yeah. I'm looking through the free agent list right now. And you really – there's going to be guys – I keep going back to it because I thought it was just a great point. There are going to be guys who are sitting out there. I mean, this list is long. I'm still scrolling on my phone. 30, 31, 32, 33, 34 years old. If you wanted to remake the Giants team with some over 30 guys who don't get the big money deal, you can do it with some intriguing names. Carlos Gonzalez, you know, just guys like that
he was sitting out there last year.
That, who knows? You know, Nick Markakis, 35, but coming off a great year with the Braves. So there are guys, Charlie Morton, and Houston's probably not going to let him get away, but 35. There are a bunch of guys in this youth movement. I know everyone wants them to get younger, but that's through the draft. And that's not, you know, if you're going to change your team for 2019, it's going to be with older guys. And I think there are some older guys out there that could provide value. Bartolo Colon, 46.
We get to watch him hit it. I mean, I think they're going to be these guys who get 2 or 3 year deals. And I like those guys because it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's not terrible. I mean, the Scudero deal, like, did not work out. But they ultimately weren't on the hook for that much money. But if you give somebody 5 years and $90 million and it doesn't work out, you're kind of screwed.
You get like two of those, right? Yeah. Like every 5 years you get two of the big ones, and if those don't work out, then yeah, you're in trouble.
Next question from SF Lunatic Fringe. That's a throwback phrase.
Yeah.
Do you think the front office would allow the new head of player development to undo the changes David Bell made, the new Arizona League team, the extra coaches, the focus on sports science? I don't know. Like, undo makes it sound like those were negative. I think David got positive reviews, and they felt very good about what he did. It sucks to lose him. I mean, this is a guy that they were very excited about a year ago, and we've talked about. I always thought he was either going to be the next GM or the next manager. And, you know, next GM went out the window, I think. They went in a different direction. I still thought he might have been the next manager of this team. And if he hadn't taken this job, I think he still probably would have had a good shot at it. So that is the guy they really liked. The changes he made, a lot of them were changes that other teams are doing, that smarter teams are doing. Not, you know, smarter sounds really
just more innovative. Just more innovative.
Teams that have had more success with minor leaguers are doing. So the extra coaches thing, I mean, that's a no-brainer if you can do it. That's just a matter of resources, and the Giants have a ton of it.
Right.
So, you know, the way I know you've been to Sacramento, the way the last couple of years they feed them there now, like, it's that's a no-brainer. That doesn't cost you very much just to feed these guys better and make sure that they're ready for a game.
Whole Foods. It was Whole Foods for them all the time. I think Bumgarner went up there last year and gave them all food. And it was like, okay, great, that's fine.
Yeah, we have a pretty good spread.
Okay, whatever. It's not as healthy, Madison, as we normally like. So, yeah, I think that's all the stuff he was implementing was, you're right, stuff that is changing and trying to innovate, and, you know, for a franchise that perhaps in a few spots just fell behind and didn't change as much. Yeah, just trying to change and figure out how to get the most out of him. Because the more I think about the Giants and bringing up younger players, I think a lot of times we tend to think it's all about the draft and picking the right guys. If you don't pick the right guys, you're screwed. But there's so much time between the draft and when they're ready to play Major League Baseball. That player development period, that 3 or 4 year period in player development, I think players can be made or broken in that 3 or 4 year period, where maybe the guy was a bust and you turned him into something, or vice versa. And I think that's important for the Giants.
Well, like, I will be very fascinated to see what happens with Brian Reynolds, because when they drafted him, I mean, I heard from people around the game who kind of went like, we didn't think he was signable. And that was their big deal. And they said Bobby did a great job of keeping in touch with his agent. And I think he was a Boris guy. But just finding a way to sign him in the second round.
Yeah.
And they felt like he was a first-round talent, a mid-first-round talent that they got. And just never kind of turned into that guy in the minors. And he had a decent season in Double-A for the Pirates. So if he turns into something, there's going to kind of be a curve of when he was with the Giants in the minor leagues and was okay and then turned it. You know, guys like that, like, there's a lot of development in this too. And that's one thing the Giants haven't done over the last decade.
Yeah, so. And then you look at the player and you go, oh, that was a bad pick. Well, I mean, maybe it wasn't a bad pick at the time. He just didn't get the proper training at the proper time.
I'm going to end with this. You have to face some music. Well, not really, because we've talked about this before. But this is from Andrea, and some other people asked, but she said, do you think Bumgarner had a couple of not-so-good years due to injuries, or he just isn't the player he was before anymore, and are you leaning towards a full rebuild for this team to be a contending team? I'll get to the second one first. Yeah. I mean, I don't think full rebuild, but I've said for a year plus now, I don't think you can keep just kind of trying to walk this tightrope. I think they need to take a step back. I think they need to, you know, some of the guys we talk about, like Marlon Gonzalez, guys like that, like, that's assuming that the Giants will not take a step back, because we know their ownership group and we know the way they go. So it's, you try to figure out ways to be successful and maybe not put yourself in a deeper hole. But I do think that they need to take a step back, and they need to consider trades, and they need to consider parting with fan favorites and improving the farm system, specifically getting a couple guys, however you do it, potentially with Bumgarner, who are young and who are pre-arbitration and who are 22 years old and can be a star. All the rookies they called up were 25 or 26. That's, you know, this, I don't think this is sustainable, so that's where I am. But you have had this conversation.
Well, I made a mistake, and I went on Twitter, because there was the news that the Yankees were going to try to trade Sonny Gray, and so I was just responding to that, and I was like, okay, that Sonny Gray, if you look at his numbers outside of Yankee Stadium, was a pretty good pitcher.
They're good, yeah.
Very good pitcher, you know, 10 strikeouts per nine, basically. I was like, all right, what if, well, so let's just throw something out there. What if the Yankees traded Sonny Gray and their top prospect, which is Justice Sheffield or maybe another guy, Clint Frazier, type, for 1 year of Madison Bumgarner? I go, who says no? And then I got like 150.
Everybody said no.
Everyone said no from both sides, which is pretty remarkable. But, you know, when we've talked about it before.
It's funny, the other side of that, if you're obsessed with a prospect as a Yankees fan, like, how do you watch the Red Sox in the World Series and not go, man, we could have used Bumgarner in a postseason series?
No, and I'll be fascinated if he does get traded, what his value is. But we don't know right now. We went into it in depth last podcast. If you'd missed that podcast, check it out, about where his value is and why it may be down. But, I mean, it's no secret his value right now. It's still a good pitcher. Madison Bumgarner, still a good pitcher. I will still have him on my team. He's still probably a number one on some teams, number two on other teams. But you can't deny the fact that his value now is as low as it's ever been, because he's coming off couple years of injuries. He's only got 1 year left on that deal now, as opposed to three or four like we've been saying for years. So if they get the right deal, as we saw with the Raiders and Amari Cooper, no one thought that any team would offer a first round pick for Amari Cooper.
Where are you going with the Raiders? Because one time they did not get the right deal.
You're right, all in the matter of like 1 month. But there is probably a team out there. If you decide I'm going to trade Madison Bumgarner, I've come to the conclusion as acting GM that I'm waiting until mid-season. I'm gonna see where we are as a team. I'm gonna see how Bumgarner's pitching, and if he's dealing like an ace and we're in it, then we're gonna ride it out. If he's dealing like an ace and we're not in it, then I think his value is actually higher trading him midway through the year than it would be right now.
You brought up one thing on Twitter that I've brought up in a number of these reviews I've done, and it is, we always say with hitters, like, you always look at the ballpark. Like, with pitchers, you have to look at the ballpark, too. And I don't know if you remember the numbers off the top of your head, but you did tweet out his road numbers the last couple years.
Yeah. I mean, his road number this year, he's almost a 5 ERA this year, and it was,
I mean, they have guys on that team who you look at it and you go, oh, I mean, their ERA was 3.8 or 4.2 or whatever. And then you actually break it down, and it was like a 3.1 at home and like a 5.3 on the road, which is like, they're taking advantage of a ballpark where teams don't score, which is fine. I mean, that's where you play half your games. But if you're starting to determine value of people and determine how other teams might view a player, like, I've had a Cy Young vote multiple times. I had one this year. And one of the first things I do is look at guys' road numbers, because a lot of guys, there's different parks. I mean, right? You look at a Corbin who has to play every day in Arizona. Freeland was fascinating because he was so good at course and not as good on the road. But you just constantly look at guys who play for the Giants, for instance. I mean, a lot of these guys, when their ERA, like I said, I mean, the ERA is just different. And you look at guys who play with the Mets, the ERA is different at home. Then you look at guys who play with the Phillies. Like, that's a tough place to pitch. So I think you have to do that. And if you have doubts about guys, go and look at the splits, because a lot of times you'll find things.
And we do it with hitters all the time. Seems like we don't do it with pitchers.
We don't
as
with
often.
Pitchers. We penalize hitters for playing at AT&T Park. I don't think we penalize Giants pitchers who do not pitch as right. well away from AT&T Park.
And I do want to say, before you wrap it up, you mentioned that was part of the player profiles you're writing for the app and on our website. If you haven't seen, Alex is like not taking any time off. He is pumping out content by the day and looking at the entire you're almost looking at the entire 40-man,
it seems
like.
I'm looking at the entire 40-man, and I'm going, I don't know if anybody's noticed this, it is by reverse order of Baseball Reference War.
Oh.
So like there were some big names early on, and you go like, oh, some margins. Previewed really early. Chris Stratton previewed really early. Like, those guys were down
you already
the list.
Did. You already did Kelby, didn't you? Did you do Kelby?
Yeah. Bye-bye, Kelby. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody who got
He'll
traded
be back. He'll be
been,
back. He'll be back.
I don't know.
You don't think so? That's what happens to the Giants that are on the fringe of the 40-man spot, it seems like, every year, is that there's a lot of angst on it. Are we
there
really going to cut them off the 40-man? And then they do, and then a week later they're in Sacramento.
It's so funny, and I like Kelby. He's a really good dude. It's funny to see the reaction yesterday, and I get it. I mean, you get attached to these guys, but then you also go like, man, he hit like 210 this year.
Yeah, it was a rough
so
year.
So it was, I don't know what, I think, you know, a new person might come in and be like, let's bring in a lot of new people.
It's like all those players, like I was joking with Sean Estes, all those Nick Hundleys, it's like, yeah, he'll be back. And I go, well, hold on. They bring in Jason McLeod from the Cubs, and all of a sudden it's all – the players that he knew,
that
all of a sudden
knows,
David
yeah.
Ross is out of retirement yeah. back. You know what I mean? It could be. It could be stuff like that where it's just players that they're familiar with and they like that are back, and all these older guys for the Giants are elsewhere.
It is hard to have an opinion on certain things because we don't know who's going to be in charge.
Yes.
And I think you and I both have – I could predict a lot of what the Giants do just because I spent almost seven full years – covering Bobby and Brian, and I think they had a certain way of doing things. It's different now, and we'll learn somebody new, and we'll see what it is. And it's harder to answer those questions right now. I appreciate everybody who sent them. We tried. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say if Chaim Bloom is listening, and if you do accept the job, an open invitation to come on the podcast, and then after the podcast, Alex and I will take you out for dinner.
Perfect. So you're paying, right?
Yeah, and I'll
we'll
pay
go to Wendy's.
NBC will pick it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, the My Teams app, it's new. They do a really good job of updating it really quickly, so anything that happens in the off season, you can get notifications. So if they do hire your guy or somebody else, we'll have a story up quickly. It'll send you a notification. You can read the story. We'll have a podcast that'll be on there. There will be exclusive video at some point, so look out for that. And you can go to my Twitter. You can go to my Instagram, and the link to download is on both of those. So do that, and we will be back after the World Series.
Okay.
And
I'm going on vacation the first week in November, so let's do it before I go.
Okay.
We'll get one more.
We're just going to plan during the podcast. We'll be back at some point. So, and if you have more questions, send them over on Twitter, because I am going to be watching a lot of baseball, and we'll be bored, and we'll answer you there. So, all right. Thanks, everybody.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.